This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samu Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
Good morning, everyone. For those that don't know me, my name is Ayo Shote. I will be handling 30 minutes with GSW this morning, because GSW is not available at the moment. And this morning, I wanted to have a conversation about understanding rest. I personally have been going through a particular situation for a few months now, and sometime last week it came to a head, and it was going to, if it went the way I saw all the physical evidence, it was potentially devastating. And as a family, we stood in faith. And I think at the last minute, it was about 3 days before whatever was going to go down, that God showed up and God changed it. And the way God changed it in a way that not one of us expected. He, you know, the way the Americans would say, when they talk about baseball, or they use it as a form of expression, it came out of left field. Totally unexpected. And it was victory. It basically turned what the enemy had planned, he turned it totally upside down. However, a few days later, I was, you know, reflecting on that situation. I was reviewing it, because I tend to do that quite a lot. You know, good or bad, I think about the situation all over again. I look at, you know, my reactions, the way I have behaved in that situation, the way others have behaved, and I then try to reflect, did I do the right thing? What else can I do? And so on and so forth. So I was thinking about that situation then. I started thinking, okay, how do I make sure that going forward, this does not occur again? And then I said, okay, fine, I just need to get this. If I get this in place, then I can then keep abreast of what is going on. And immediately I thought like that. I had the Holy Spirit tell me, you are trying to take control again. And that caused me to pause. And I started to think about what the Holy Spirit told me, and I realized that it was absolutely right. Not that he's ever wrong anyway. But I just realized that as a human being, there's a tendency for us to want to be in total control every time, in every situation, and be sure that we are the ones that are taking the right decisions. And as Christians, when we get into that mode, what we're basically saying, and we don't realize we're doing it, what we're basically saying is, Holy Spirit, step aside. You have done your bit. Now it is time to do my bit. Now, it's a very challenging conversation to have, and I will explain why. Because the way the world is set up, the world wants to see that we're actively taking action in every situation, and we're taking decisions that will ensure that we are never in a place of disadvantage. And, yeah, okay. Look at it from the perspective of the world. Yes, if you're not in control, you're in a stressful situation. Because not being in control for us as human beings is being out of our comfort zone. We want to be in control. We want to ensure that everything we are doing, we know why we're doing it. We know when we are doing it. And we know the results we expect when we are doing it. But you see, our journey with the Lord is at cross purposes with that. And one of the reasons why it's also very difficult to have as a conversation is when we're not taking control, when our decision-making process is constantly giving us results that are wrong according to the standards of the world. We can be given labels. We can be called silly. We can be called stupid. We can be called lazy. We can be told that, oh, we don't know what we are doing. And because we don't like being called this, we don't like being seen to be at a disadvantage, because we want people to see us as perfect every time, then there's a tendency for us to decide that, you know what, I want to be in control. And we do it every time. I've seen spouses, wives do it to their husbands. I've seen husbands do it to their wives. I've seen parents do it to their children. I've seen even children, the moment they become young adults, start to do it to their parents. And it causes friction all over the place. So when the Holy Spirit told me that, I took a step back and I started to think about it. And I started to personally look at the journey I've had. And what I'm talking about is part of a journey I've had with the Holy Spirit now for 9 years. Because I knew when he told me he was going to start doing something, and when he starts, it was going to seem as if he was breaking me down, but it was not breaking me down, it was preparing me for the next level. I knew when he told me that. And the moment he said that, I got into this journey, this process that can be termed as painful if you don't know where the Lord is going with you. So while thinking about it, my mind went back to Joseph. Now, Joseph is a favorite character for me, because over the years, God has used Joseph to teach me quite a lot of things. So I sometimes revert back to Joseph. But in this particular case, Joseph and David were the ones that came to mind. And I think a little bit also of Daniel. When God revealed to Joseph an idea of what he had in mind for Joseph, the message was cryptic. And a lot of us on this call, I'm sure that you're in a place in your journey with the Lord where you know the Lord is taking you somewhere. You know the Lord is taking you to a place of peace, a place of comfort, a place of victory. But when you look at what is happening to you at the moment, when you look at all the evidence around you, what you see is at cross purposes to what the Lord is revealing to you. Or even some people will come to you and say, listen, I was praying for you, and this is what the Lord showed me about you. And you just look at the person and say, what are you talking about? Do you know the pain I'm going through? That was exactly what I believe Joseph went through. Because God revealed to Joseph, Joseph did not understand at all what the two dreams that he had meant. But the moment Joseph spoke about it, he became an enemy in the most comfortable place in his house, in his life, sorry, his family, his home. That should have been the most comfortable place, the safest place for him. But he suddenly became persona non grata. He had 11 people, no, he had 10 men see him as an enemy. And they were hell-bent on making sure that he does not survive. Now, the funny thing for me, and a lot of people have had conversations with about this matter, I always focus on that, was the fact that when Reuben wanted to save him, when Reuben wanted to save Joseph, Reuben's plan was at total cross purposes what the plan of God was. I believe the plan of God was that Joseph needed to end up in Egypt, irrespective of how he ended up in Egypt. And Joseph staying in his father's house, he wouldn't have ended in Egypt. There was no way Jacob would have allowed Joseph to go to Egypt. So when you look at Jacob, Jacob was in his comfort zone. His favorite son was around him. Nobody was thinking about their rest in the Lord. When you look at Joseph, he was with his father. And I'm sure even when his father told him, go and check on your brothers, I'm sure he grumbled. Because that was not his comfort zone. That was not his place of rest. So Joseph ended up in Egypt. Joseph ended up in the right place that God wanted him to be, because the fulfillment of the dreams of God or the plans of God for Joseph's life must happen in Egypt. But he ended up in Egypt as the worst of the worst. He was a Hebrew that the Egyptians hated, and he was a slave. So he had no control over his life. He had no control over his destiny. His life and his destiny was being controlled by other men. But there was something that Joseph did, and this is where I'm going this morning. There was something that Joseph did. The Bible said that Joseph trusted in the Lord. So every decision that Joseph made was a decision that showed his trust in the Lord. So much so that when he was tempted, he said, how can I do this evil against God? and he ran away. He ended up in prison. He trusted in the Lord. Now, his diligence showed through. Yes, I do agree. He learned some things along the way as a smart young man. His diligence showed through. But you see, sometimes, and there are people on this call, I'm sure you can agree with me, that sometimes there is so much pain. It seems as if everybody that you turn to that could help you are just giving you platitudes, or they've turned their backs on you, or the best they can do is tell you sorry and praying for you. And you feel so alone. It is easy to be there, so that when you look at the promises of God, you would think that God was lying to you. And I tell you that in this process I just described to you, I was there. In some cases, I just sit and think about, oh, couldn't this person have stepped up? Couldn't that person have stepped up? But somewhere at the back of my mind, I kept realizing that, listen, Lord, I know you're doing something. I just don't know what it is. I remember I had that conversation where I said, Lord, I know you are doing something. I was having coffee with a friend and we were discussing about this matter, because the guy said, come, let's meet and pray together. And he was thinking of, you know, solutions. What can I do? Who can I talk to on your behalf? And I remember I opened my mouth and I turned to him and I said, listen, I know God is doing something. I know he's going to show up. I just don't know how. And trust me, that can be a painful position to be in. Because you're praying for other people, you're prophesying into their lives. You're speaking the mind of God as the Lord is revealing it to you concerning them. But about your situation, it seems as if there's a mist that is covering your eyes and you cannot see clearly. And you have people depending on you, and you also have to do the job of encouraging them to say, listen, I don't know what the Lord is doing, but I know the Lord is doing something. What I did not realize in that process was God was teaching me how to get into a place of rest with him. So when I had that conversation a few days later, and I was thinking, okay, I need to do this. If I can just get this one, and if I can just be in this position, or if I can just go to this place, every other thing going forward will be okay. And the Holy Spirit said, you want to take control again. I had to pause. I then realized that even when I make all my plans, even when I have put everything in place, even when I have lined up a list of people that have agreed or promised to help or to show up or to speak to someone on my behalf, I must rest on one thing that is certain, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. To get into that place of rest is one of the most difficult things that we can ever achieve as children of the Most High God. But the funny thing is this, it is non-negotiable. We must get to that place of rest. Getting to that place of rest is non-negotiable. You can do anything you want to do. You can go on a tangent. You can tell God, I want to do it myself. By the time you've done that rigmarole and gone to that journey, you come back to that same place of getting into that place of rest. That was when what Jesus was saying in the book of Matthew chapter 6 became real to me. I've quoted it. I've used it to teach people. I've used it to encourage people. But it became real to me. He said, why do you worry for what you will eat, what you will wear, and where you will lay your head? He said, your Father knows you have those needs. So in other words, Jesus was saying, just rest. Yes, look for the job, but rest. The job is not the source. He is the source. The job is the excuse for the flow to come into your life. Think of that business, if you are entrepreneurially inclined. But that business is not the source. He is the source. Get married. But your husband is not the source. He is the source. Your wife is not the source. He is the source. Everything that we desire or aspire to have, a lot of times, we tend to make that, you know, the ultimate. If I can just get that, I'll be happy. The Holy Spirit told me, he said, your happiness does not come in what you have. You know, we read it in the scripture sometimes, but it flies over our head. Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in what he has. So what does his life consist in then? Rest, resting in the Lord. Understanding that we are not alone. I don't know whether it happens to you, but it used to happen to me where I'll be praying in tongues and I'll still feel I'm alone. I'm praying in tongues, yes. He's in me, yes. He has made himself real to me, yes. But I still feel alone. Why? Because I am not in his rest. So we need to understand his rest. It is not a word that's supposed to flow over our tongue. It's not a word that flows, you know, that just flows over our tongue. It's a word that we must understand. We must break it down. We must understand the etymology of it, break it down, and understand it in light of our relationship with him. You know, when the Lord Jesus was talking to the disciples, he said, listen, he said, if I do not go, I cannot send another comforter just like me. He said, but when he comes, he said, it will be in you. He has revealed himself to us as God with us. He has revealed himself to us as God that rules over, that reigns over, that protects us. But do we truly know him as God in us? Yeah, maybe we know him as God in us because through that we were able to minister to other people. We pray for others and we see the power of God in their lives. We pray for others and we see them change. I don't know about you, but I've over the years I have God has allowed me to work with people that I've seen the change in their lives. So when they came to me, I saw who they are now, confident, on fire for the Lord, and it gives me such joy. I see that. That's a physical manifestation of God is in me. But do you have that seemingly intangible manifestation of God in you as it has to do with your own situation? Those times that you are not so sure, those times that you have such inferiority complex, that you think that everybody that is looking at you, they are looking at you askance because you think that they are talking about you, because you think you are imperfect, because you think there's something in your life that they see, that you know you have that they see, forgetting that you have someone in you, that if you can just hand over everything to him, he deals with it, he handles it, and he ensures that going forward, everything is perfect. Now, why do we then feel most times that we are alone when we have God in us? It is because, and well, at least about me, there's a desire to be so sure that over the next 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, I am sorted. Everything that needs to fall in place has been lined up, and that is where my confidence is. Let me repeat that because, as I said, I didn't understand it myself, but let me repeat it. Most times when we are planning for the future, when we are thinking about the future, we want to see the markers along the line. We want to see the milestones. We want to see, oh, in 2 years, at this specific day, at this specific time, this will come into place. And when it comes into place, it sorts me out for another 2 or 3 years. And then after that, another thing will come into place. And when we see that, or we know that, or we understand that, we are comfortable. That's strategic planning. You know, when you have an idea of where you want to go to, or you have an idea of the tools that you have, or that you need to get there, and you know where you can get those tools. But do you know that when the Holy Spirit is preparing us for greatness, it does not allow us to see the tools that we need to get to where he's taking us to? Sometimes it does not even show us the full picture of where it's taking us to. Or sometimes it shows us the full picture, but it never reveals to us the process we have to pass through to get there. And that is where rest is. Because without rest in him, it is very difficult to understand the faith that you have in him. In this process, there was a day I sat down and I said, Lord, I said, I don't know what you're doing. I do not know what you are doing. And if I tell you that I am trying to understand what you are doing, it's a lie. I failed. I've tried to understand it in the past, and it does not make sense to me. My wife has asked me, my children have asked me, people that are close to me have asked me, and I cannot explain to them. I said, but grant me the grace to walk with you. Just grant me that grace to walk with you in whatever direction you are taking me. Because if I do not have that grace to walk with you, I would just be making silly mistakes along the way. So that day I sat down with him and I said, Lord, okay, it's important to plan. But now what I want to do is I want to plan with you. So if I have an idea and I'll come to you, I'll lay it before you. I'll tell you what I think about it. I will show you where I think the tools that I need for this journey are. But I would ask you to determine what tools I will use, what steps I will take, when I will start the journey, when I will stop to take a breather, and when I would go 14 speed. In other words, I started to tell him, Lord, after all these years working with you, I want to hand over full control to you. And personally, I think ultimately that is where God wants to go with us. He wants us to get to a place where we can hand over full control. He wants us to get to a place where when people say, how did you do it? It is easy to say, I don't even know. Because it is okay to say, I don't know when you are working with the Lord. A lot of us want to say, I know. I knew when God spoke to me. I knew when he said I should do this. I knew when he said I should do that. Oh, it's not. Because as human beings, we don't ever want people to think that when we are going through that, we are even afraid we are going to fail. We want people to think that we are comfortable. We knew what we were doing from the one. It's normal. If you're like that, don't be ashamed about it. I'm not here to shame anyone. But ultimately, what the Lord is asking for is, son, walk with me. Walk with me. The days I will carry you, I might not tell you, but walk with me. I believe strongly, because I've had a week of thinking about this constantly. In fact, it was on Tuesday. I was taking a drive somewhere. He had showed me something the previous two Thursdays in a revelation, and I understood. He showed me three things. I understood one of it very well. There was an aspect. The other one I understood, half and half. The third one I did not understand at all, and I kept thinking about it. I kept asking him, Lord, I need to understand this. I need to understand it. And it was on that drive he then told me, and he tied in with something that I was told in the North American group some days before. And I just started shouting in the car and just started to glorify, and started to praise him. I started to thank him. And I then realized that is what he wants. It's a day-to-day thing. He wants us every minute to be totally connected with him, to be totally rested in him, to come to him with anything and to be able to discuss anything with him. And I know we say it. I know we admonish ourselves. I know we talk about it. But the question is this. Are you in his rest 24 hours, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year? Are you always in his rest? Or are there times that you tell him, just stay away? I want to be in my own space. I want to be in my own rest now. I want to fret. I want to worry. I want to complain. I want to say that this is not moving at the speed that I want. I want to be in control. I want to be proactive. Those are the words we use in business. Yes, I'm a coach. Yes, and I know that we use those words. But you see, the best coach in the world is the Holy Spirit, and it's God in us. It's God in us. Are we fully yielded to him? Now, one of the things I believe you will see when we start to do that fully is, and I say this with all humility, it gives us this ability to understand other people in their journey. Some of those that are close to me, I normally would challenge them on something and tell them, never judge people. You don't understand where they are in their journey. The more you allow the Holy Spirit to lead, that understanding will be there, because not only is he taking us on a destination that he has planned for our lives, in the process, he wants to make us effective vessels that minister his grace, his favor, his healing, his blessings, his glory to others along the way. There is not one of us that he expects to get to a place of perfection before we can start to minister to others. And that is who we are in JSWMI. A lot of us came to JSWMI because of our own personal issues. But the Lord has turned our lives around so that now we're those, we're his glories. We go to other places. We're fulfilling Isaiah chapter 61. We're telling those that are in prison that they are God reigns. We're telling those that are in the place of darkness that the light of God is shining out on them. We're turning the destinies of men around according to the way he has determined. So why don't we take a step forward and just go fully into his rest? Be the best you can be, whatever you do, but let us stay in his rest. Because in his rest, understanding that rest that he wants us to have in him, that is where the peace that he has ordained really dwells. Does that mean that you will not have situations where it seems as if you're about to be put to shame? No, yeah, there will be. But it will not be something that the enemy is planning. It will be something that that the Lord is allowing you to go through, because that is where your character is being forged. It will be something that is allowing you to go through so that when you meet people that are going through the same thing, you will know how it feels to be in that situation, and you'll be able to minister to them. It is a process it will allow you to go through, so that by the time you get to that place of glory, grace, and leadership that He has ordained for you part time in this season, you will know how to show forth the glory of the Most High God. Because Isaiah chapter 60, not only was it written for Israel at that time, it's also written for you, for each and every one of you that can hear me right now. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Said, even though darkness covers the earth and gross darkness, it will say, you will arise and shine. It is from within that darkness that you will arise and shine. When you look at the world for the past 6 to 7 years, we've been going through a recession that seems to be getting worse. But the Lord keeps saying, the birds, they have their needs, but your Father takes care of them. How much more you, that the precious blood was shed for? How much more you, that He holds in the warmth of His embrace? How much more you, that He reveals the mysteries of the kingdom to? How much more you, that the power of the world to come has been revealed to? How much more you? Now, you might be on this call this morning and you have not yielded your life to Him at all, but He brought you here because there's something He wants to do in your life. This is the time to allow Him have full control. Give your life to Him, because even relinquishing our lives to Him, accepting Him as Lord and Savior, is the beginning of that journey of getting into His rest fully. Because this is what the Bible said in the book of Isaiah, the Lord was talking. He said, this is what the sovereign Lord says, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. The Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. I'll not read the last part, because the last part was an admonition. A lot of us do not want anything of it. But in quietness and strength, and trust is our strength. So as you go to your churches this morning, I admonish you. Ask Him to explain what rest should mean to you. It means the same thing to all of us, but it depends on where you are in your journey. What He will explain to you might be different from what He will explain to me. But let Him lead. Let Him take absolute control. You might be in a place of pain. Hand over the pain to Him. Don't turn that pain to a duvet that you wrap around yourself. Because a lot of us do that. I used to do that years and years ago. And how you will know is when that pain becomes your comfort zone, everything anybody does to you then becomes, you know, a pointer to the fact that they hate you or they dislike you or they don't like you. No, hand it over. Understand the rest that He wants you to have. Accept that rest fully and step into it. That was the same thing He revealed to Zechariah the high priest. He was accused, but He stepped up for him. And He did not even allow Zechariah to defend himself. He stepped up and He defended Joshua the high priest, not Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3, Joshua the high priest. He stepped forward and He vindicated Joshua himself. That's a kind of rest I believe the Lord is asking us to step into. A place of total vindication. Place of total confidence in Him, that no matter what you are going through, no matter the journey you're undertaking, no matter the process you are going through, He is there, He is in you, and He's leading you. May the Lord bless you. Speak into your life that the next few days are days of testimony. As we prepare for our praise concert, our praise program, Tehillah, which I think is coming up on the 22nd, don't wait till that day. Start praising today. The elders have started. I see their videos every day. You start. Start praising. Just wake up in the morning and dance. Celebrate Him. Celebrate Him for the rest that He has introduced to you. So if you have been blessed by these 30 minutes that we have spent together, please unmute and shout glory.
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also also visit the ministry website at www.gswm.org.